Good morning.
Good morning.
So just a warm welcome. I'm going to risk something now. Warm welcome to Victoria. Yeah. Lovely to see you. I hope you come again. I hope I don't put you off. A few notices. Bishop Michael was greatly encouraged by the service on Wednesday. I suppose he played a role in the service. But he described it as a great service. So that was his reflection on it. But it wasn't just down to him. I want to thank everybody who was involved in putting that service together. The choir, the worship group, those who did refreshments, those who made cakes. Thank you all very much. And also thank you for those of you who helped with the concert on Sunday. A couple of quick notices. Use stamps, please. We can give them to Birmingham City Mission. They're worth something. Don't know why. If you're free on a Thursday morning, we'd love some help with wombats. There'll be prayer after this service today, should you want more prayer. Next Saturday, we're decorating the church. You've got a notice.
Yes. This evening at Baptist Free Church, Marston Green, if you're free at 6 o'clock, there's a production by the CMM Choir in preparation for Christmas. It's a selection of different songs telling the Christmas story, songs written by Roger Jones. 6 o'clock, Marston Green, Baptist Free Church, Land Lane. If you want more details, grab me afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Peter's got a notice.
Hopefully my prop's underneath your stuff. Yeah, it is. Some of you may recall Anuksha and Roisha, who were part of our congregation for a while. So they've moved to Telford, and I've been in touch with them a little bit, sorting out church for them to attend and so forth. And Roisha messaged me to say, just to let you know, my baby boy was born on the 2nd of December. So his name is Aidan. He was just under £7. Both doing really well. I've got them a card if anybody wants to sign it, and I will be sending them a little gift from us. So if you want to contribute to that, perhaps pop it in the card if it'll go round. Maybe if I can start it with you, Jane, and then you can move it on. Would that be okay? So that's for Anuksha and Roisha. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Quest family. And we've got Quest family this afternoon at 3:30. So I'm going to ask the young people to help me name the candles. Who knows the name of the first candle? That's the name of the second candle. So I'm going to let you name the second candle. Does anybody know the first candle?
Patriarchs.
You're quite young, Becky. So I'll let you light the first candle with your son, Matthew.
Matthew? One each.
Can you light the one at the back? People of God, be glad. Your God delights in you, giving you joy for sadness and turning the dark to light. Be strong in hope, therefore, for your God comes to save. You are God's children. Lord, make us one in the love of Christ, today and forever. Amen. I should have said, sorry, Tony, a very happy birthday to James Fisher. Peter, is it your birthday as well?
It was.
Okay. Happy birthday to Judith as well. There comes to an age where you don't celebrate. Sorry, Paul, shut up.
I'm just saying you said that after
YouTube. Thanks,
Alan. Try. Okay, this is James,
Judith,
and Peter. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Judith and Peter. Happy birthday to you. We got there in the end. My welcome to you all as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bring our praise and worship to you, may the refreshing waters of your grace revitalize our spirits and ignite in us a fresh devotion to you. May be aware of your presence and offer our thanksgiving to you. We thank you that your love endures forever. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's say a welcoming prayer together. Lord Jesus, by your grace we gather here to worship and glorify you. Give us wisdom, courage and love to welcome the new person into this place, so that they too can meet with you and know your redeeming love. Amen. And our first worship song, if you're able, please stand. Sweet is the work, my God and King.
Work, my God and King, to praise your name, give thanks and sing, to tell your love by morning light, your faithful wrestle through the night. How good it is to join the song. Around your throne, lift
Please sit down as we pray for our young people. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless the young people and their leaders as they go into their groups. Open their hearts to the lesson they're about to explore. May this time be a source of spiritual growth. May they catch a glimpse of the Heavenly Father's love for them and tightly hold on to the faith they have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, young people, have a good time as you go. To a time of confession, so let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we offer to you our prayers of repentance. Forgive us where you have poured out your love, and in return, we have not loved you as you have loved us. Forgive us where we have read and heard your word and fail to live by its teaching. Forgive us where we have so much and we do not share with those who have so little. Forgive us and redeem us. Thank you that you forgive us. May your presence shine amongst us, to our families, to our friends and neighbours. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So let's declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life in the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards he appeared to his apostles and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. We have three worship songs now, and if you're able, please stand, and if you want to, then please sit, if you find it difficult. You are who you say you are. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you hold us fast, even though we sometimes turn from you. You hold us so tightly in your love. Amen. Amen. Please sit down for our reading.
Reading is taken from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. The Lord Almighty answers, I will send my messenger to prepare the way for me. Then the Lord you are looking for will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger you long to see will come and proclaim my covenant. But who will be able to endure the day when he comes? Who will be able to survive when he appears? He will be like strong soap, like a fire that refines metal. He will come to judge like one who refines and purifies silver. As a metal worker refines silver and gold, so the Lord's messenger will purify the priests, so that they will bring to the Lord the right kind of offerings. Then the offerings which the people of Judah and Jerusalem bring to the Lord will be pleasing to him, as they used to be in the past. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Short prayer. Father God, I thank you that you are present. And Father, I do pray that you would bless me, anoint me to speak your word this morning. I know it's worthless without you. I pray you speak to us all. Amen. So first, slight apology. My sermon is slightly longer than usual this morning. It's because a parishioner said my sermon should be longer, but the parishioner is not here this morning. I shall be having words later. I shall relay your disappointment to said parishioner. I'm going to look at the book of Malachi, which I guess you've probably worked out this morning. Malachi, messenger, he was about 400 years before Jesus Christ. It's the last book of the Old Testament. His contemporaries were Nehemiah and Ezra, who were involved in bringing the exiles back to Jerusalem and Israel. Like many prophets from the Old Testament, he talks about the future, and surprise, surprise, he talks about Jesus Christ. Malachi verse 1, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me, says God. Well, we have the benefit of hindsight, don't we? The benefit of history. Through this prophet, God is saying, I'm coming. I am coming to you, and you'll see me in the temple. And I'm going to send a messenger to prepare the way for myself. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all quote this verse. And we know the messenger, don't we? As John the Baptist, the forerunner of God himself. In our 9 o'clock service, we have the gospel reading as well, which is from Isaiah. And Isaiah says something very similar in his prophecy about John the Baptist. So the Lord who follows John is God himself, the Christ, the Son of God, God's salvation. And of course, he did go to the temple, didn't he? In the first week or so of his life, he went. He was presented at the temple. Then I imagine he would have gone every year of his life. And then, of course, he was there in the last week of his life, Jesus Christ. And like many prophets in the Old Testament, Malachi talks about the first coming of Jesus and the return of Jesus, but he almost seems to mingle the two events into one. It's a bit like when I go on a, I'm trying to explain it as best I can, but if you go on a walk and you're climbing a mountain, you can only see one mountain, can't you? Until you get closer, and then you realize, often to great disappointment, that you've not reached the summit. And that's kind of someone's description of it. They were looking so far ahead, they did not realize that the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus were so far apart. And in Malachi here, we have verse 1, which I've just talked about, talks about the earthly ministry of Jesus. And verse 2, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, is talking about him returning as judge. You see where I'm coming from? Talk to me more afterwards. I see a few puzzled faces. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? I think this is a reference to Christ's judgment. And then it says a function of his second coming is likened to purifying agents,
fire for metal, soap for clothing. You get the picture. And then he says this, as a result of this process, he will purify the latter-day Levites. Let me try and explain that briefly. Abraham had a son called Isaac, who had a son called Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, who would be the 12 tribes of Israel. This family becomes a nation. One of the 12 sons is called Levi, and Levi and his descendants are called out to a unique service to God in his temple. This was 3,000 years ago. Levi had a son, one of his sons was called Aaron, and he was called to a particular priestly service, if that makes sense. And you see that a bit in our church today, especially ours, because Alan, as it stands, is a deacon, will be priesting next year, but at 9 o'clock this service, it was Peter who presided. Peter did the priestly function. So in this age to come, the Levites will serve the Lord, we believe, in the temple again. Scripture, I believe, tells us that when Jesus returns, he'll rule from Jerusalem, and it's then, I believe, their ministry will be carried out. In terms of trying to relate this to us in this purification, I don't believe we'll serve in this temple as the Levites, but I do believe we will be purified when Jesus returns. So if we are alive when Jesus comes back, it says in Thessalonians, where it says we'll be transformed in a moment. And after the moment of our transformation, we will be pure. Amazing, isn't it? To be in a place where you never sin again. That's what we have to look forward to. When we will still have free choice, but we'll never choose to sin again. Because we'll be free from our mortal bodies. Verse 4. Then the Lord will have men who bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years. Now I found my commentary interesting at this point, and I disagreed with him, which is rare. But he says, verse 4, of course, does not mean that the descendants of Levi and Aaron will function in any temple. He goes on to say it's rather symbolic of a cleansed and sanctified church. I think that's speaking to replacement theology. I think that's wrong. And I think we should take scripture literally, unless it's obvious we should take it in another way. So I think he's saying that Jesus will rule from Jerusalem, that there'll be a temple in Jerusalem, and that the Levites will make offerings of righteousness to Jesus in that temple. Offerings that are acceptable as in the days of old, as in the days of the likes of King David, King Solomon. I'll leave it for you to consider, and by all means ask me questions afterwards. You'll be pleased that the message from here on is simpler and more straightforward. And this is my central point. God sent John the Baptist to prepare people to meet Jesus Christ. I believe today he is sending Alan Holland, John, Cam, Becky, Jan. He is sending all of you, to prepare people to meet Jesus Christ. We all have a responsibility in this. And when Jesus comes next time, it's not to make a way unto salvation. He's done that. When he comes next time, It is to judge between the righteous and the unrighteous, between those who have put their trust in Jesus and those who have not, between those who obey Jesus and those who do not. I'm not saying you obey and you don't, by the way, but let me be clear. Those people who are counted amongst his disciples will enter his rest, and only those people. A disciple is someone who knows Jesus as Savior. They have put their faith in Jesus Christ. They have been forgiven their sins. But they also know Jesus as Lord. And by Lord, we are saying we're going to be obedient to you before ourselves, before the world, before any institution. Obedient to you, Jesus Christ. It is not enough to call Jesus Lord. We must obey Jesus as Lord, something Jesus says for himself. Jesus says, not everyone, this is in Matthew, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Only he who does the will of the Father. We must prepare people to meet Jesus Christ. At PCC meeting this week, we talked about our vision, mission statement. And I think you all know our mission statement, don't you? I hope you do. Worship God, grow believers and make believers. But you have a mission to prepare for a vision, don't you? You know, when I climb a mountain, I have a mission to get to the top of the mountain. I take water, food, sometimes. And we talked about our vision being preparing a community to meet the Christ. That's what I want us to be. We are preparing a community, people, to meet the Christ. How do we do that? Well, we worship God. That prepares us to meet Christ. We nurture, grow believers. I want to be the best believer I can when I stand before Jesus. A daunting prospect, isn't it? However mature we think we are, it's still a daunting prospect to stand before him and give an account. And of course, we want as many people to be believers as possible so they can stand before Jesus and know their sins forgiven. So we must tell people. Most of you were here a couple of weeks ago, weren't you? And I told the story about the boy who was convicted to tell his schoolmate about Jesus Christ. And he didn't tell him. And then the next thing he hears is that kid's committed, taken his own life. And he learned the lesson, that boy, who's now a man. He preaches the gospel whenever he can. And I told the story as well about the man who was convicted to give a North Korea soldier a Bible. And he did, at the risk of his life. But he did it. Our shared calling is to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's not to make them Christian. That's between them and God. We are simply, like John the Baptist, messengers of good news. And I don't think it matters almost how well you present it. What really matters is that you tell. So if anybody's saying here, I'm not very good at presenting the gospel, doesn't matter. Present it as best you know how. Tell them the story you know. I remember being in Taunton, and I was a curate at the time, and I got a phone call saying there's a man in the coffee shop who wants to talk to you. So I went up and I spoke to him and I told him about Jesus. And on the way back to my house, I can remember thinking, well, I didn't do a very good job with that, did I? I don't think the presentation I gave was particularly good. But I did tell him about Jesus. What I didn't know at the time is before my very eyes, God had blessed my message, and that man in that half an hour had moved from darkness into light, had given his life to Jesus Christ, something he later told me. Now, if I'd said nothing, I don't think that would have happened. This Christmas is an excellent opportunity. Presents, bottle of wine, maybe, Bible, a track. I encourage you to think about how you can use this opportunity to place good news into people's hands. Invite them to a church service. I don't promise it will be a great presentation, but I do promise you this, they'll hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is so important, isn't it? Christ is returning. His judgment is real. Some will know eternal life. Some will know eternal destruction. You know, though, that God died, Jesus died for every single person. He loves the whole world. He died for the whole world. So please tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell them what he's done for you as best you can. You each have a unique testimony. And whether you do it well or not so well, doesn't matter, as I've said. God can use it and he will use it. This is our responsibility. He didn't send the disciples, he didn't send the angels to tell people about Jesus Christ. Could have done. But he has sent you and me to tell people about Jesus Christ. I'll remind you of his final words on that mountaintop before he ascended to heaven. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, that word again, obey everything I have commanded you. So please go and tell people about Jesus Christ, and we pray that they will know Jesus as their Lord in thought, word, and action, that they will obey him and so know eternal life. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord again.
And during the song list, there will be an offertory taken. Stir my heart, O Lord. Please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Please be seated as we pray. Heavenly Father, we offer to you the monies in this bowl and those made through the bank. Guide us to use these resources wisely. May they serve your purposes and bring glory to your name. Stir our hearts, O Lord, and breathe your life in us. Help us to be good stewards of the blessings you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
First, I thought we'd have just a short time of open praise and open thanksgiving. So I'm going to invite you, either silently or out loud, to just give thanks or praise God. Just really short prayers. So I'll give you an example. Father, I thank you that you are ever present. Amen.
Father God, thank you for your amazing grace and your wonderful love shed abroad in our hearts. We praise your holy name.
Amen.
Thank you that you came to redeem all of mankind. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now a couple of prayers from me. Father, I want to pray for those present and for myself, for I know that I am not always obedient, and yet Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. Father, we are sorry for those times we fail. Help us, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to grow in obedience to you as a demonstration of our love for you. Lord, in our mercy, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, we recognize our shared calling to be messengers of good news. Thank you that you are pleased to call each one of us your ambassador. We are so privileged. Father, we pray for opportunities, we pray to take them, and we pray that many people in our community would move over from death into life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the family of Kathy, known to this church, in her last days. May her journey from this world into your arms be peaceful,
And we pray you bless her daughter and family as they grieve. And we thank you that Kathy was a woman of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for Kayla with us this morning. We pray that you would bless her. We pray that you would heal her. We pray that she would know your peace, your grace, your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer based on our MP's decision on assisted dying. Heavenly Father, the beauty and dignity of human life was the crowning of your creation. You further ennobled that life when your Son became one with us in his incarnation. Help us to realize the sacredness of human life and to respect it from the moment of conception until the last moment at death. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to invite Sue to come forward. She had a word earlier, so I think it would be a good time to share that now. Just to say, if you'd like more prayer after the service, there will be one or two people sitting over here to pray for you. Thank you.
Some of us met to pray at 8 o'clock this morning, and while we were praying I was reminded of my Bible reading notes this morning, which was about Elisha praying for somebody to have his eyes opened to see the glory of God. And I just had a sense of, while we were praying, of God wanting us to have our eyes opened to see Jesus, to really know him and what he can mean in our lives. And the words of an old song came to me, which was, "Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our eyes, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus."
Thank you, Sue. Our final song, please stand if you're able. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
The same, the rest.
Blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the strength and courage you provide. As we leave this place, empower us to face the challenges ahead. Help us to stand firm in our faith and trust in your amazing grace. Give us courage to share your love with others and to be a light in the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Please join us for next door for refreshments and fellowship. Thank you.
Thank you.